Good morning, everyone. And a very warm welcome to church on this, the fourth Sunday in Advent. Don't know where this year's disappeared, but it's gone like a flash. Our watch night service will be on Tuesday evening, starting at 11:15 with carols, and the service itself will start at 11:30. And then the following morning, Christmas morning, we'll have a short informal service starting at 11 o'clock. And I'm asking everybody, whatever age, to bring a gift, one of your Christmas gifts with you. And we'll have a show and tell. Looking into the new year, the new year service will be on Sunday, the 7th of January at 11 a.m. In between, on the 29th, worship will be led by Robert, as I'm taking a week off to recover from Christmas and to spend time with my family. Holy Communion will be on January the 12th. I think all the other intimations are as printed. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say a massive thank you to every single one of you who sent me a card or an email or given me a gift. I'm really quite overwhelmed by the generosity of you all. As you know, I see the Christmas card from the church as being from me and going to everybody in the community so that I treat everyone equally. But as I have done in the last couple of years, I've also bought a gift for all of you, a gift which will not need to be dusted. Well, I suppose it might be slightly, but I have twinned another of our toilets. So I like to be a down-to-earth minister. So that's a third one of our toilets twinned. And this year it's twinned with a toilet in Zambia. And at the end of February, I will be going out to Zambia to visit friends. And I'll tell you more about that in the new year. But meantime, that's my way of saying thank you to you all. You can interpret it in whatever way you like. There's a wee card that goes with it. Are there any other intimations that I've forgotten that anyone wants to remind me of? Nope. We're here to worship God, Emmanuel, God with us. God is love. Today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is all about love. And we can only love one another because God first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out all fear, which I think is why the words "do not be afraid" or "fear not" occur 366 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, even in a leap year. So let us worship our God who is love with the words from Psalm 80. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Amen. And our first hymn, we're singing again the beautiful hymn that's written for this year by Tom Gordon, called The Advent Journey. That was lovely, thank you. You're all in really good singing voice this morning, which just sounded beautiful. Now, I think you all know that a week today, David, our church officer, retires after 22 years of dedication and service to our church. So I'd like to invite David to come forward, and Christine is going to present him. Well, we've got one or two wee things in here. Come forward, David, please.
Well, Ecclesiastes tells us...
Sorry, can I ask you both to stand here and face the congregation? Thank you.
You never told me all this.
Ah! If I had, you might not have come.
That's true. Like I was saying, David, Ecclesiastes tells us that God sets a time for everything. And there was definitely a time for you to start and become our church officer and to get to grips with the job. To get to grips with all these organisations, you know, some of them want the tables straight, some of them want them sloped, some of them want them in a circle, some of them want them in a square, some of them, not mentioning any names, even change their mind how they want them from week to week. And then there's the chairs. Do you put six beside the table? Do you put eight beside the table? Have you to separate them? Have you to pile them up? All these different things you've had to get to grips with. Then there's the heating. Now, David, you've obviously realised there's only two types of heating in this church. One, it's too warm. Two, it's too cold. And everybody tells you that as they go. Too cold today, David? Too hot today, David? Did we ever say it was lovely today, David? Too warm today, David? You've also had to get to grips with ministers and lay readers, and I'm sorry, we all do things slightly different. And let's face it, they even know what with them tables. But in 22 years, you've managed everything really well. And you've also got to know everyone. You love the children coming and being baptised, and you love seeing them going to the Sunday school, and you know every one of their names, and you never forget their names. And you know all of our names. And it's wonderful when you greet us by name and you say goodbye to us by name. And we all really appreciate that. But the problem with being a church officer is you have to come every week. And it's not like, except for Audrey and Elspeth, the rest of us, we can say, oh, we'll have a wee long lie today, or we'll watch the football, or we'll go to the shopping before it gets too busy. You need to come all the time, David. And now it's time for you to relax a little and to have a time when you'll still be coming, but you can sit here as we do and relax, knowing that it's somebody else's work to worry about where's the tables, where's the chairs, and where is everything else. Although I'm sure you'll still be picking things up and putting them in the right place. So we hope that you're going to have many, many, many long years of just joining and relaxing with us, David. And we'd like you to accept this from everyone. And you know I don't hug, but like this one thing.
Hold on a wee minute. Thank you very much, Christine. I was very conscious that I've only been here just over 3 years, whereas you've been here 22 years. So I'm so grateful to Christine for speaking on behalf of all of those years. But I would also like to thank you from the bottom of my heart, David, for looking after me since I arrived. And for all that you've done, there's a gift in there, which I'm hoping we've arranged a lunch after the service today in your honour, and I hope you'll enjoy that. And there's a card, there's one or two other things in that bag, but you'll maybe let folks see at the lunch. But we also, as you know, we're moved into the 21st century, and I'm trying to grapple with things like social media. So as we started to look for a replacement for you, I put on Facebook that we were looking for a new church officer because you were retiring. Now, I've maybe left it in there, but I'll find it. If you want to sit down and look at the screen, and I'm going to read out, these are the messages that came into our church Facebook page when people heard that you were retiring. And I think it'd be nice for everybody to hear them, because I know you're not on Facebook yourself. So please have a seat and just soak up what people think of you.
Back to my usual seat.
If you wish, or you can sit at the front.
Thank you.
You'd rather be in your usual seat. Laura Jane. Jacqueline Nisbet wrote, "Enjoy your retirement, you deserve it. You have done so much for this village. Thanks so much for your hard work." Nicola Hodgson said, "Happy retirement, David. Always remember you going up, going to church with Aunt Chrissy, Uncle Zan, Christine, Nellie. So many good memories. Well-deserved retirement. Think you were even there going back to when Mr. Scott was parish minister. Take care, good luck in your future." And then somebody you probably saw more than you wished, Andy Ironside, said, "Well done, David. You have been an excellent servant to the church. Enjoy your retirement." Roberta Smith, "Well done to David, who has served the community for 22 years. Enjoy your retirement," and a smiley face. Marion Lindsay wrote, "You will be truly missed, David. You have given so much to our community. Congratulations on your retirement, and thank you for all the lovely things you have done in our wee community. So proud to know you." Then Elizabeth Gordon, "Thank you, David, for kindness and compassion shown to our family at most difficult times. God bless you." Kirsty Lumosi, "David, such a kind gentleman. Hope you enjoy your retirement." It goes on and on. Sheena McGilvery, "Well done, David, on such an achievement. Enjoy your retirement." Liz Thompson wrote, "David, you have given so much. Enjoy your retirement." Michelle Wood Doherty, "Happy retirement, David. You still don't look your age." Enjoy. Archie McGilvery, "Congratulations, David. Enjoy your retirement." Joan Beattie wrote, "Have a well-earned retirement, David." And lastly, Terry Connor wrote, "Well done, David. Enjoy your retirement. You've done so well." And Laura Jane has printed these all out and made them into a wee book for you, which is in the bag with your other gifts. I hope you'll treasure these, because often we're not aware of what people really think of us. And it's lovely to be able to celebrate all that you've been and are and all that you've done for this church. So thank you so much, David. Now, I'm looking around the church for someone to light our Advent candles this morning. Two of the youngsters have gone out, have they, Miriam? Yeah, right. Kyle, would you like to come again and bring Ross as well and light our Advent candles? It's always lovely to see you two boys coming all the way from Lanark to come to church with us. We love it. So the first candle was for
Hope.
Hope. Thank you, Kyle. It. And the second candle, Ross, was for
peace.
And the third candle, Kyle?
Joy.
Joy. Don't need a script when I've got these two here. And the fourth, today's candle,
love.
Is for love. Beautiful. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful Christmas, boys.
Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. So let's just have a word of prayer together. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for your presence with us today. Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you so much for the candles, reminding us of hope, peace, joy and love. And we thank you, Lord, for David and for all his service to our church. And may you bless his retirement. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. So let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn before the next prayer is number 314, Child in a Manger, which is a very popular one in Gaelic-speaking areas because it's the one carol which is printed in our hymn book in Gaelic as well as in English. And I was really moved this week to receive a Christmas card from Tyree in Gaelic saying, Nolly Chriel agus Blian Ava Ur. Happy Christmas and a good new year. So let's stand and sing Child in the Manger. I now invite Robert to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you are our God, and with you choice is all. You chose to create life on earth, and you saw that it was good. Then you chose to let it flow in freedom. You invited people to bear you witness. John the outsider, Paul the stubborn Pharisee, Mary the quiet teenager. And to each one, you offered that divine freedom, the freedom to choose to accept or to reject your invitation. And in Jesus, man of Nazareth, you have shown yourself to us in the fullness of your freedom, choosing love over fear, forgiveness in the face of hatred, life out of death, humanity above all. and he pointed us to you, the one who is good, our God. There is no compulsion in you, God. There is only the power of love, freely offered, to be freely rejected or freely received. And for this, for all of this, what can we do but be silent and offer thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Lord God Almighty, you give us the freedom to choose, and choices face us every day. We like to think our choosing springs from reason, from facts, but too often we are driven by other things, by fear, by foolishness, by vanity, by selfishness, by stupidity, by sin. And so, if in our pride we have sought to pretend to a freedom we know that we do not have, if in our arrogance we have seen ourselves as different from other people, if in our sin we have imagined that we do not need the grace of your Spirit to help us, to set us really free, God of freedom, forgive us and remake us in your image, we pray. For you are the God who says, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Thanks be to you, our God. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you so much, Robert. And now I'll call on Ian to come and read from the Bible for us. We have our fourth reading from the prophet Isaiah. Today's reading is from chapter 7, and then our reading from Matthew chapter 1.
Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." From Matthew chapter 1. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Ian. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon speaks of "the Lord is coming. Don't lose heart. Be blessed. Prepare the way." It's number 291, "When Out of Poverty." hymn 291. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Love. What could be more loving than a promise to always be with those we love? And in both our readings today, both Isaiah the prophet and Matthew, we hear that the baby born to a virgin or a young woman is to be called Emmanuel, God with us. If you actually translate the Hebrew literally, Emmanu means with us, and El is the Hebrew for God, so it's with us, God, rather than God with us, but that's just me being petty. Both Ahaz, the king of Judah, who Isaiah was addressing, and Joseph, who of course was pledged to marry Mary, were facing a crisis. A little bit of background: Judah suffered an attack from their rivals Israel and Aram, and King Ahaz, in this reading, was given the opportunity to ask for a sign from God. He didn't want a sign from God, but he was given it anyway. And the sign was, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. You'd need to read a bit more of Isaiah to know what exactly happened, but the reason that Ahaz didn't really want a sign from God was he'd already chosen to trust the neighboring country of Assyria and form an allegiance with them rather than trusting in God. And I'm afraid that allegiance didn't end well at all. But the good news is that Ahaz's son Hezekiah was the very opposite of a chip off the old block. As we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. Then in the gospel, many generations later, but the same family, we meet Joseph, who was also a descendant of King David, and who was facing a very different crisis. Before they came together, Joseph discovered that his fiancée Mary was pregnant. No doubt, he thought she must have been unfaithful to him. He must have been very confused by Mary's explanation about an angel and the Holy Spirit. Joseph was in a tricky situation. Once word was out that Mary was pregnant before marriage, she could be stoned to death. And if it was believed that Joseph was the father of that baby, he would be equally guilty of adultery and could also face stoning. That's quite a crisis. But as we read, because Joseph, who of course was Mary's husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph had worked out a plan to save Mary and to save his own skin, and he hoped at least some of his reputation. But God had other plans. So he sent an angel to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So God was suggesting a very different solution to Joseph's crisis. But it still must have been quite daunting for Joseph to accept Mary as his wife in spite of her being pregnant, to accept the baby as his own son, for to name the child was to accept the baby as his own child. And given the angel's words that this child would grow up to be someone very special, surely gave Joseph a glimpse of the bigger picture. But Joseph was being asked to play second fiddle to God as a father of Jesus, second fiddle to Mary, who as the mother of Jesus is always seen in front of Joseph. And as he grew up, he would face playing second fiddle to Jesus too. A tough decision, a tough choice. Yet, as Ian read for us, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph, like Mary, and in contrast to King Ahaz, trusted in God. So I wonder what crises we are facing or will face this Christmas. Crises as individuals, crises as a nation, for what a scandal it is, the level of poverty in this rich nation. And of course, as a world, we know we are all facing a climate change crisis. So how will we face these crises? Will we continue to trust in God's abundant, unconditional love? Or are we tempted to be like Ahaz and think that we know better And we can solve our problems in our own strength, or as Ahaz did, by joining with other people, even if, like the Assyrians, they demand that we accept their religion, or lack of it, and turn our backs on our faith. We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his Son to save us, to be the beginning of the reign of Emmanuel, God with us, the beginning of heaven on earth. And just to pause a little bit on Emmanuel, God with us. Not God high above us, not God below us, not God in front of us, not God behind us, but God with us. Here, now, in the present. And Emmanuel is God with us. Not God with you or with them, but with us. An inclusivity that crosses all boundaries. Are we ready to really trust in God as Joseph did? To accept, believe, and then act on that trust? In our Advent Bible study, we looked at questions about making difficult decisions on Thursday evening. And I spoke about my decision to give up a career as a vet. And I know that I've never regretted that decision. I accepted, eventually, that God was calling me into ministry. I then believed that despite all my many faults and weaknesses, more and more of which you're all learning, God could still use me to minister to others. And then I acted. I gave up my career and went back to university in my 50s. And I'm still every single day trusting, accepting, believing and acting because I know Emmanuel, God with us, is true and present right here and now, that the greatest present is his presence with us. Amen. We're going to sing in a wee while that love came down at Christmas. Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. But before we sing this beautiful hymn, let us continue our worship with the giving of our offerings and the receiving of our prayers. Let us pray. Loving, living God, for your many gifts to us, for the present of your presence with us, we give you our heartfelt thanks, and we ask you to receive these, our offerings, as well as our worship, our prayers, and our lives, and use them to spread the good news of your love here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Just before we sing Love Came Down at Christmas, I realised that at the beginning of the service I didn't ask about birthdays. Now I know of one person who has a birthday tomorrow, but I'm fairly sure there's somebody else. But I can't remember who. Anybody else going to admit to a birthday? You're all very shy, aren't you? Well, I do know that tomorrow is Jim Sinclair's birthday. So let's all sing happy birthday to Jim. Have a wonderful, peaceful, love-filled birthday, Jim. So let's now stand and sing hymn 316, Love Came Down at Christmas. Let us come before God in prayer. Boxes neatly wrapped, bows tied, shiny paper reflecting the fairy lights which hang from the branches above. God of gifts, we thank you for those traditions which speak to us of warmth and peace, of love and welcome, of hope, even in the dark. We are grateful that the promises wrapped in parcels point us to the pledge of love and welcome, hope and peace, even in dark times. Wrapping ripped and paper scattered, excitement at discovering what they thought we'd like. God of giving, we thank you that we are able to give and receive, to show our care and to rest in the love which others show. We are grateful that this is more than paper thin, that the batteries of family and friendship do not quickly run flat. We are grateful that the presence of others at this time are rich presents in this season of giving. We rejoice in your presence among us, Emmanuel, gift to the world lying in a manger. Lord, who has come and who is yet to come, as we are glad to remember your birth in Bethlehem, make your church ready to welcome you when you come in glory and discern your Spirit's living presence here and now in our world today. This, Lord, is the time when light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overwhelm it. Draw near, God who is with us, Emmanuel, to all those for whom the overwhelming darkness in these days threatens to extinguish any hope, any joy. Be to them a light to guide, to encourage, to protect. To all who face a crisis, draw near, Emmanuel, God with us. And today we bring before you all of Helen Day's family and friends, especially her husband Raymond, children David, Lawrence, and Lorraine, and ask, Lord, that you grant them your peace. And we pray for all the people of New South Wales, Australia, as fires devastate that state. And now, in a time of silence, let us all bring those people and situations that lie heavy in our hearts, and let us lay them at the feet of Emmanuel. Lord, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us, never too far away to hear our prayers, however silent or loud they are, and always ready to embrace our prayers with love and answer them in the ways that we need rather than the ways we want. Lord, we thank you once again for the greatest gift, the greatest present, the presence of you in our lives. Amen. Having handed over to Emmanuel all that was weighing down on our hearts, it's now easier to lift up our hearts to the Lord, and to allow the Lord of light to lift all hearts today. So let's stand and sing our closing hymn, number 518. Lift up your hearts. We lift them, Lord, to thee. just before the blessing, since everybody is invited to come down to the small hall and join us in lunch, I'll just say grace, because you'll probably all be there before I am. Lord, as we give thanks for David's service to this church, we ask that you will bless the food we're about to eat. Bless all who have prepared it, all who will be in attendance, and all who will clear up afterwards. And Lord, may our time together be made special because you are Emmanuel, God with us. And that, of course, reminds me to say the Lord's Prayer before the benediction. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as we go out into Christmas week, may we know the reality of Emmanuel, God with us, love with us, in us, and through us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each and every one of us, today and forevermore.